How would you like to solve the plastic waste crisis? Bertie Stevens will tell us how to do it. He's the CEO of Clean Planet Group and author of Element and the Material Matter. So, Bertie, tell us about how can entrepreneurs solve the plastic waste crisis and why should they care about that?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Hi. Look, first of all, it's a great question in regards to the importance of the plastic waste crisis. So today, this year, 8 million tons of plastic will flow into our oceans. And that comes from various different sources, from landfills overspilling, comes through our rivers. But there's predicted to be something like 171 trillion pieces of plastic in the oceans right now. And it's not just the oceans, it's in us. So every one of us will have a certain level of microplastics inside of us. Every baby born today is born with microplastics inside of them. And animals, over 1 million seabirds per year die because they've ingested plastics. So with regards to why we should even think about this, I hope that sort of sets the tone initially, is then this is a global crisis. Everyone talks about many different global crises, but plastic waste seems to be one that everyone agrees with. It's very interesting. So at Clean Planet Group, we focus on a number of different things. We focus on carbon reduction for obviously the carbon crisis, plastic waste crisis, and you can have people on the first one, you can have people say, well, you know, global warming isn't man-made. Okay, it's happening, but it's, you know, we've got nothing to do with it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's not a problem. You know, it's been cold here, therefore it can't be warming. You know, a lot of misinformation, disinformation, but there's an argument they make for some reason. When it comes to plastic, there isn't. Everyone gets that plastic is a problem. I should actually narrow that further. Plastic itself is incredible. Plastic saves lives every single day. In hospitals, many people in A&E would die without plastic. The mismanagement of plastic waste is the problem. As humans, we have been unable to solve that. So that starts us off with why we should do it. Then it's how. And I think there's two things. And at Clean Planet Group, we focus in three different areas. We have Clean Planet Energy, which builds facilities that can take waste plastics and turn them into plastics again, or can put them into an oil that can be used for other purposes as well. But that's plastic that cannot be recycled today. So that's one way. One way is entrepreneurs, engineers, and the like can invent innovative and new technologies that will allow us to tackle plastic waste that currently can't be recycled. 91% of plastics produced today will not be recycled. Then there's education. And that's where the book Element and the Material Matter comes into it. It's a middle grade STEM novel that helps engage the younger audience in learning about the crisis, learning about the topic, but also making it entertaining. So that's where we focus within the group. The foundation, the Clean Planet Foundation, which is a not-for-profit, focuses on the education side of things and taking action, which is where Element and the Hapsi comics come through, and energy side of things. Energy's part of the group, looks at the new technologies to help us deliver the actual solution right here, right now.
Thank you. Tell us more about the solution for plastic waste crisis. What can an entrepreneur who has no idea how to contribute towards solving this issue, what can they do?
That's a great question. So I think if you were to look at the educational side of things, that's where, so I'm an entrepreneur, and one of the reasons the Clean Planet Foundation exists is because we wanted, as part of myself and the other co-founders in the group and directors, we wanted to find a way to do things differently. And that's what the foundation does. So we engage people's attentions, and then that's a huge part of this crisis, is getting it into the forefront, getting people to know about it and getting people to understand it. So, for example, within the foundation, we have decided we are running we call it the Clean Planet Peninsula Project. That takes a group of early career research scientists and puts them into the Arctic Circle and the Antarctic and allows them to do research. That type of research, comparing the microplastics within the snow in the Arctic and Antarctic, has never been done before in the same year, and that's something that we are doing. So we have decided to engage a project. We are working with the University of Portsmouth. We are working with Preet Shandy, who is a Guinness World Record holder explorer, to engage new early career scientists and researchers in understanding this crisis, and then that allows us to get out there. We were featured on the BBC for the project. Again, it's education, it's awareness. So that's one part that entrepreneurs can do. We also have, within the foundation, we built a comic book. So it's for those in the UK, it's like the Beano in the sense of, and it's a fun for 8 to 11-year-olds comic book, but it's the comic book for budding eco-warriors. So again, it's about that awareness. So that's one way you can do it, through awareness, and find different projects which allow people to understand about the plastic waste crisis. Then there's the technology side. There are technologies out there that scientists have developed that can tackle the plastics we currently cannot recycle mechanically, which are most of the plastic grades that exist today. If you take a traditional water bottle that you buy off the shelf in your local store, that probably has a very good chance of being recycled. It's PET. It can go into a mechanical recycler, it can be crunched up, it can be melted down and made back into plastic again. Fantastic. You buy a takeaway, however, you take the plastic film off the takeaway, you take a plastic bag, you have any type of plastic that's a film over an ice lolly or something like that. All of that plastic, you may put that in your recycling bin, but that's going to go into waste and cannot be recycled. So as an entrepreneur, what can you do? The thing about being an entrepreneur is you have the capacity and the ability to go out there and start projects and get projects from a level of conception through to funding, through to implementation and execution. And that is what you need to be doing with these younger technologies. You need to take them, you need to nurture them. If you're not the scientist, just I'm not the scientist. We've had Dr. Andrew Ojo is the most amazing scientist in our thing, but that's not me. And I was brought onto this project as a co-founder initially because I wanted to support Dr. Andrew in taking that technology and making it something real. He is the brains behind it. I am simply the person of the enabler. And that's a lot of what entrepreneuring is. You're almost, back in my early days, I was a producer on films. And that's what you are. You're producing something. You're putting it together. You're putting all the elements together. So find those technologies and make them go forward. In our case, we use various different technologies, but one that takes pyrolysizes the plastics. And what that means is plastics are long hydrocarbon chains. So they're just hydrocarbons linked together. If you can heat them up in an oxygen-free environment, so there's no flame, it's not incineration, if you can heat them up, the chemicals can start breaking down into smaller chains, and that allows them to turn back into oils again or gases and things. So that's one thing you can do, is about the technologies.
Thank you. What about some small steps that entrepreneurs can take in order to solve the plastic waste crisis? Is there anything tiny that any entrepreneur can do that will make a difference?
A lot of what we say when we get asked that question. So we in the foundation, we work a lot with younger people, some children, some young adults, and a lot of people who are entrepreneurs and wanting to go out themselves. And that is a big question, because if you look at how the scale of the plastic crisis is, you can recycle everything you want to do, every bit of plastic, but ultimately you've got a company down the road who's chucking hundreds of tons of plastic out, and suddenly your own home recycling needs seem pretty inferior. But it's about engaging those who can make a difference. So if you are an entrepreneur, activism is hugely important when it comes to the plastic waste crisis. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand out on a picket, on a protest, waving a placard. That's valuable, but it's not necessarily the way entrepreneurs will always think of things. They'll think of dynamics and go there. It's about enabling those words to be spread. So for example, you could create your own podcast network in that respect, focus on plastic waste. You know, that in itself will create enough awareness that enough people, will daisy chain together, and you'll have the collective power to suddenly actually make a difference. So if you can't be there creating a company that will go out and directly solve the plastic waste crisis, the first thing to do is identify that this is a crisis you're in, and the longer we leave it, the longer it's going to, the worse it's going to get. And it does have serious health implications to both you and to animals and the climate and environment around you. So you need to focus in on it. And a level of entrepreneurial activism would be the key way to do that. Spread that awareness, make people know. And within that dynamic of entrepreneurial activism, you'll be able to find small projects that can scale to large projects down the line.
What about something practical, like physically possible, that entrepreneurs can do aside from awareness and aside from activism? I'm talking like something like a step that they can take that will actually make a difference. Is there anything at all that they can do that will make a difference, or
in what way?
Recycle
my plastic bottles?
I don't know, maybe. Is there anything they can do? Because, I mean, I don't know that much about this topic. The only thing I know is, recycle. That's pretty much like everything I know about solving the plastic waste crisis. So anything at all that you can tell us that it will...
So the biggest step you can make is stop buying things covered in plastic. That will be the biggest thing. And if collectively you can do that... But that would, in my books, fall into the activism side of root, because you are actively making a difference on your side. The scale of the problem exists at an industrial level. The scale of the problem exists on the fishing boats, which leave endless tons of plastic in the oceans every year. You should recycle. It's important. But sadly, today, 9 out of 10 items you'll put in the recycling bin will end up in landfill or will end up being incinerated. So you're not the problem there. The problem is the step above you, which is where that environmental activism comes through. So yes, do the recycling. The key point here is you need to get out there and make a difference with those who actually control that industry. So if you stop buying those melons covered in plastic, if you stop buying those takeaway tubs that have a plastic film on the top, that demand will diminish. And then that problem will start going. But you alone will not make the difference. So you, as an entrepreneur, what you're good at is being entrepreneurial. And entrepreneurial means you can actually get out there and convince others that your idea and that your belief system is the best way to move forward. That is almost, in my word, the definition of an entrepreneur. If you set out and you're trying to raise money for a project, then to raise money for that project, you have to convince people with more money than you, or money who people who are willing to risk putting money into your project, that this is a good idea. So that is your strong point. Your strong point is convincing others. So get out there and convince others that this is a problem, this is making a difference, and to start making a difference.
Thank you. Tell us more about what causes that, let's say, like you said, 9 out of 10 plastic waste gets incinerated or doesn't actually get recycled, even though, let's say, you made the effort of putting it in the recycling container. What goes wrong there? Why are they choosing, for example, to not recycle the plastic waste that you've, let's say, put together for recycling?
It's because we've been all told a lie. And the lie is that the way that people have been built in, there's many different reasons. It depends where you are. If you're in America, it's because chucking something into a landfill in a state that has a lot of spare land is a lot cheaper than recycling. And there's very little regulation now to say, don't do that. So if you're a business and you are looking at, well, what do I do with this plastic waste? If your neighbors are saying, well, I'm just putting it in landfill and I'm only being charged X dollars, and you are saying, well, I'd actually like to be green, but it's going to cost me 2X those dollars, then I'm going to be being looked down on my board saying, why are you the one being silly? If it was important, if it was a problem, the government would be regulating it. that isn't in place. The EU and Europe have a slightly more dynamic recycling things. There are there's the plastic waste packaging waste tax now, which has come in, which is forcing companies to consider that the, every bit of plastic packaging that it goes not into a recycled stream, they get fined for. So areas like that are very important. So one thing is purely economical. The point I was going on at the beginning in regards to the lie is that it just simply can't be done with mechanical recycling. We believe that putting something into a recycling bin turns it into recycled material. It's just not the case. That plastic will go to a sorting center, lasers will be shone through it and separate out the plastics which can be recycled in mechanical recycling and cannot be recycled. And just the way it is, 1 in 10 of those items will likely be going off into the landfill or likely going off into incineration. Then you have what is called recycling. So there's recycling and there's recovery. Recovery means you burn it to get more energy. Now, that does create energy, which can be used to power a home, but it also creates huge amounts of carbon emissions. And there's a lot cleaner ways these days to get energy than burning stuff. So if you are reading that, and a lot of governments will say waste and recycling recovery, blend them together, and you won't be able to really understand. And then suddenly, so if you look at that stat, it's like 50% of our waste is recycled or recovered, not realizing that 49% of that 50% is actually just burnt, which is recovery. So the problem is the systems themselves cannot handle it. If there are yogurt stains all over the yogurt pot still, then it could wash, but washing is a lot of electricity, a lot of water, a lot of cost. Why would you bother washing that yogurt pot at the industrial facility versus just burning it when you can get recovery stats on that? So that'll just, again, your yogurt pot, which potentially could be recycled in the system, will just go off to landfill or incineration. So those are the key challenges we have, and it all generally comes down to economic and lack of regulation, lack of systems in place, which is why we at Clean Planet Group are building these EcoPlant facilities, which allow us to take those plastics that cannot be recycled or are simply hard to recycle these days, the films, the single-use plastic bags, chemically break them down and turn them back into an oil which can be used to make plastics again, which, when you come to a carbon-saving point of view, has a huge difference, because to make new plastic, you have to dig oil from the ground. To dig oil from the ground is hugely carbon intensive. So by circularizing that plastic again, you are removing that need for it.
Thank you. What do some of the most successful countries that are great at plastic waste recycling, what do they do that we can model perhaps?
So the most successful companies and and you know, you tend to be looking there at certain countries in Europe and certain countries in Asia. They have the whole suite of processes in place. So it starts off with regulation on what is allowed to be wrapped in plastic and what happens to plastic waste. Then it comes down to regulation on what can happen to that plastic waste once it's in the consumer's hand and where it needs to go. And then it comes down to purely investment in infrastructure to enable the plastics that can be recycled to be sorted and the ones that can't. But despite all that, you know, we are talking, you know, maybe 30-40% at the very best. You know, so the vast majority of plastics are still unable to be recycled, even in the countries that are making great progress. Then you have countries, you know, the UK have done well in introducing the plastic packaging tax. The EU are close to being that. France have put in a huge budget to support chemical recycling, which is, you know, in the realms of where the eco plants are, to do this breakdown of plastics that can't be recycled. Korea has for a number of years now been focused in on that same area, saying, well, pyrolysis, which is one of the technologies that we use in our eco plants, that's showing a positive turnaround. And it's just the forward thinking about the whole process. By saying just one thing in supermarkets, you can't do this, it's not going to work. The countries that have done well are countries that have thought about it from A to Z, and finally make landfill expensive. what you tend to find is the bigger the countries are with regards to land size compared to their population, the more they realize that they have a lot of land to chuck things in, and that's quite cheap, and then that can actually benefit business and economy because you're having less cost on waste. And the countries that are smaller land wise don't have that luxury, luxury in inverted commas, and therefore actually have to think about the problem. So generally it's those countries that have to think about the problem that have started making the most significant advances in the progress towards plastic waste being a controllable crisis.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Sure. So the Clean Planet Group is cleanplanet.com. And you can find my email directly at cleanplanet.com and go from there. I'm also on Instagram, Bertie_Stevens, and you can message me directly on there as well. And on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the one I'll check more than anything else. And so if you search my name, Bertie Stevens, you'll be able to find me on there as well.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.